Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Listen, with men, that's impossible. With God, all things are possible, but you can't do it on your own. This was the whole point of the whole passage when he put Jesus' teaching in helping them realize that Jesus speaks concerning riches and saying it's impossible for man to save himself by works. You can't do it.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
We're going to do a series on God is our Creator. We are His personal managers. The Lord Himself that took an event, one individual that He met as this man came to ask Christ a question and turned it into a conversation of five questions. We're going to look at this, Matthew 19, verses 16 through 30. We'd like to read that out loud together. There are questions in here. Actually, there are six of those, but there are five that we're going to focus in on and hopefully be of an encouragement to us today as we look about the area of stewardship. All right? Matthew 19, verse 16. Ready? And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, and they said, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. And many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Matthew here is talking about Jesus as the king. And he describes the story of an event that happened in Jesus' day because Jesus was traveling with his disciples. He was a rabbi. And in his role as a rabbi coming from Galilee, he was very well known by this time. He'd been out in public ministry about 3 years. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about this story. Mark 10, Luke 18. Fill in the story a little bit because this rich young ruler wasn't just a good man. He was a ruler. He was someone very wealthy, someone that was a ruler probably in a synagogue, so he's fairly spiritual as far as his activities were concerned. Here's where he's going with it all. He starts asking questions, and so typical of conversations where there's a question, there's an answer, there's a question and answer. And let me fill in a little bit because maybe it'll help and make a little more sense about it all. Are there people today that would have these same general questions? And I'd say to you, sure. People are wondering, how do I get eternal life? How in the world can anybody be saved if you're drawing these kind of lines? What were the lines that Jesus was drawing? We talked about this first question, what good thing shall I do? And then he said, all right, keep the commandments. Why did Jesus say keep the commandments? And he listed those. Was Jesus saying, there, see, you do all these good things, you're going to get eternal life. Is that what Jesus meant? That's not what he meant. He was drawing to the heart of the matter by saying to this rich young ruler, listen, you are convicted by the law before we ever feel the need to be saved. Because the fact is, the reason why God gave the initial law, and we've talked about this multiple times, is not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law by having the law as a schoolmaster to bring us to the fact that as Jesus was using this engagement, this young ruler, listen, you can never do enough to get to heaven. And that's why when Jesus said, if you really are that sincere, and he goes to the heart of the matter, then listen, you sell everything you got. Take the robe off, take the gold medallion off, go home, sell everything you have. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. Join with us. And Jesus, so as he always does, goes to the heart of the matter. Listen, it's not about the law. The law is just bringing you to me. And he had at that point to make a decision. And the decision was, and he walked away sorrowfully up over the hill. And that's when then, that fourth question, when the disciples said, well, who can be saved? And the reason why is they asked that, who can be saved? Because these Jews, these disciples, were still thinking, Old Testament, still thinking, well, look, the rich people are the ones that, when they go down to the temple, give everything. At least seemingly, they give more. They walk into the temple, and there's 13 trumpet-shaped cones where you could toss money into those, and they would roll down that bronze trumpet-like holder down into the treasure box, the joy box. There were 13 of them. 9 of them you had to give. 4 of them were voluntary. And for the rich people, always gave those. Filled up all of them. Fact is that ancient historians would say that the rich people got to be known as zingers. They were the ones that were so good at throwing money into those that as soon as they hit it, it would zing down the pipe, and that's where they got the idea that it's a zinger. So here is this rich young ruler in his mind, and even in the disciples thinking, well, man, you're good enough. You're doing all this stuff. You're giving alms to people. The ancient Jews, the rabbis, used to teach that you could give up to 1/5 of your giving. And then they established laws, don't give any more than 1/5. And the more you gave, the more you would end up earning your way into heaven. And later in history, you have in the Middle Ages what called indulgences. And much of that came from the old Jewish teaching, may I add, misdirected, that it started getting people think, I can do all these good things to get to heaven. And that's when Jesus draws it all together. And when you've read the story before, when Jesus answers, said, who can be saved? Verse 26, listen, with men, that's impossible. With God, all things are possible, but you can't do it on your own. This was the whole point of the whole passage when he put Jesus' teaching in helping them realize that Jesus speaks concerning riches and saying it's impossible for man to save himself by works. You can't do it. He uses the proverb, well-known proverb. Listen, as a camel goes through the eye of a needle. Many times people have interpreted that as must be as the camel in the Middle East where you would take the load off of the camel and he would get on his knees and crawl through the smaller eye of the needle gate. Untrue. Not true. That is not true. Because it's possible for a camel to get through a small gate. His point of the passage is, nobody can do it. You can't do it. Now you say, well, where does this go with it all? Here's what I want to leave with you with the rich young ruler. Jesus was taking and talking about salvation. He was saying, listen, you cannot work your way to heaven. Because in that day, even including the old Jewish teachings, it implied that you're going to be good enough to do it. That's why you had the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And Jesus was debunking, he was cutting straight to the heart of the matter, you cannot do that. And any time a religious system puts you in a place to think, you're doing enough, you're going to make it, and not just that, when you get to heaven, you've gone on ahead and you've given so much more that it's going to earn you bigger and better points, that's a problem. And that's why, to close here, notice the fifth question. When Peter now vocalizes and he says, and now he turns the attention from salvation to stewardship, from concerning riches to now concerning rewards, when he says in his response to Peter, when Peter says, what are we going to get? You see, Peter heard him say, listen, sell everything you have, verse 21. You're going to get treasures in heaven. So Peter now, again, a Jewish mindset, thinking, well, good night. If he sells everything and he's going to get treasures in heaven, then Peter now is saying, whoa, I'm going to get much more. And notice Jesus' response when he now talks about rewards. When he says to Peter, verse 28, I'm saying unto you that you that have followed me, and he's turning to his disciples, in the generation, the regeneration, which is the millennium kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years, Peter, and he's not rebuking Peter here. He's not demeaning Peter. He's answering a question. Peter, it is true. You're going to end up being on one of the 12 thrones. And he's talking to those disciples. You are going to be rewarded for this. Then he expands this, and for us today, a powerful motivation when he says, and everyone, individual, everyone that is forsaken, houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, referring back to this man in salvation, now he turns it to stewardship, and he says, listen, for those of you and anyone that has turned their life over to God, turned their life to Christ, realize he's the Messiah, and you have given all you have to God in a right steward, he says, what does he say? For my name's sake, you're going to receive 100-fold. If you are doing it for my name's sake, not for your own sake, not for your own interest, not for your own name, but for me, you're going to inherit everlasting life. You're going to receive 100-fold. That's powerful. You imagine if I had a box over here, and let's put a deposit, and I said, hey, listen, let me tell you something now. I got a great deal for you. I'm going to give you 100-fold for whatever you put into this box right here. Little child, you put a penny in, you're going to get a dollar. Fact is, for every dollar, you're going to get $100. For every $100, you're going to get $10,000. Businessman, wouldn't you say that's a wise investment, 100-fold? That's not a bad investment. You can't find them any day. I don't know of any. That wouldn't be bad. And what Jesus was referring to these disciples, hey, listen, there is going to be rewards in another world, my friend. He is using it, as Paul said, it's a motivation for me. It's not mixed. There are multiples. I'm doing it in Jesus' name, but everything I'm doing on this earth, if I'm doing it in Jesus' name, my giving, my effort, my good works, all of that, not for salvation, but out of love and service to God, God said, I'm going to reward you someday. Anybody that ends up sacrificing and giving in the name of God, for the name of Christ, not for salvation, but out of love and service, God said, I'm going to reward you. I mean, wouldn't it make sense if I end up saying to you, hey, listen, I'm going to give you $100,000. I'm going to give it to you. I care about you. I love you. Here's $100,000. Or if you want to wait next year at this time, I'll give you $1,000,000. And for the next 10 years, another $1,000,000. Now, what would you take? $100,000 now? You could buy a number of things for $100,000. If you wait later, I'll end up giving you more. What would you take? $100,000 or $1,000,000 for the next 10 years? Obviously, you'd probably take this. Temporarily, this is a pretty good deal. But if you delay your gratification, you delay and you sacrifice, God's saying in a more eternal way, hey, listen, I'm going to give you rewards you will never be able to fully embrace.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.